Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And at 8:37, it's good morning again to Darren.
Yeah, very good night for the Irish women's team, Audrey. They beat France to bring the curtain down on their European qualifiers. 3-1 was how it finished in Cork. First win of the campaign, the girls in green competing at the A level of this qualifying series. And it was always going to be a massive step up for them in terms of this qualifying group. But a famous victory against one of the top sides in the world at the minute. Big boost for them ahead of the playoff qualifying round, which takes place in October and December. Switzerland will take one of the automatic qualifying spots, so there are 7 more places up for grabs. That draw will take place for the playoffs on Friday. Montenegro, Luxembourg, North Macedonia, Belarus, Slovenia, Romania, Albania and Greece. They are our potential opponents in that playoff semi-final. And you're looking at that list now and you're thinking, they're pretty winnable, aren't they? The next round might be a different story altogether. One of the stories of the last couple of games has been the return of Julianne Russell. She scored the second goal to follow up on Denise O'Sullivan's effort. Russell has now scored in her last 2 appearances in the green shirt after a 4-year absence. Her baby daughter helped her pick up the Player of the Match award from Tony O'Donoghue.
Rosie's happy out, I think, and why wouldn't she be? Because Mum has had the game of her life today, maybe?
Yeah, I just can't believe it, really. What a game. It was incredible. The fans here in Cork are absolutely magnificent. That from start to finish, you could hear them. And yeah, I'm just so happy.
2 goals in 2 games, not having played for the last few years.
I know, I can't believe it. It's so surreal. I'm just so happy. And both the goals are for Rosie.
Well, the whole team celebrated. The Rosie celebration is going to become world famous, I think.
I know, it's iconic at the moment, it's funny. It'll be lovely for when she's older and she can look back and hopefully, yeah, we can inspire other mums and, yeah, keep the game growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Playing great stuff as well for Galway United in the League of Ireland. And let's hope there's more to come as well. Interesting comments from Denise O'Sullivan from Cork, who says she wants more games down there. No surprise there from Denise O'Sullivan. Now, Shamrock Rovers had a much edgier affair, but they can start planning for their meeting against Sparta Prague next week in the second qualifying round of the Champions League. Last night, they beat Víkingur Reykjavík of Iceland. Scoreless first leg, Rovers won last night 2-1. Johnny Kenny with both goals. They seemed to be cruising at one stage, 2-0 up, then conceded one, then Jack Byrne was sent off, second yellow card, 15 minutes to go, so under a bit more pressure, and then they conceded a penalty deep in injury time. It turned out to be the last kick of the game, 6 minutes into injury time, the 96th minute, but Nikolai Hansen missed it, thankfully for Rovers. I wonder what it was like for manager Stephen Bradley watching that unfold on the sideline.
Stephen, I reckon you went through all range of emotions there tonight, did you?
Yeah, I think I've hit every emotion you could think of there, and you could imagine it was an incredible night in Tala. Big performance from the players, and they've come up with a special night that will live long in the memory.
Obviously, the drama at the end with the penalty that was missed, hit off the post in the 96th minute, that would have forced extra time not to be. What went through your mind when the spot kick was missed? Not that you wish ill on anybody, I'm sure.
Oh, I was wishing he missed, let's be straight. I just didn't want extra time. We were down to 10 men. We were out on our feet. We're playing against a team that are a really good team. 10 internationals within the squad. They know what they're doing. I was just hoping they didn't get the extra time because they would have been obviously real favourites to go and win it.
How important a win for the club is this?
That's a massive win for us as a club and for the league as a whole. You know, I think when you're representing the league and the Champions League, it's important you go and try and win games. And like I said, the players have done that tonight, so it's a special night for this club and it's a special night for the league. We've set the standards for a number of years and we've drove the standards in the league and we want to continue to do that.
You probably haven't had time to even delve into Sparta Prague, but what about the prospect of facing them next Tuesday? Before that, of course, you've got Bowes in the cup as well.
Yeah, well, Bowes on Friday is our focus now. We want to get in that cup final, that starts on Friday. And then Sparta's another level up again. But we'll be ready, we will be prepared, and if we get Tala like we did tonight, we can go and beat anyone here.
Yeah, Stephen Bradley there with Adrian Eames. They have a busy couple of days coming up, don't they? Let's turn our attention to the golf now. And it's 4 weeks since a dramatic conclusion to the US Open left Rory McIlroy fairly broken in terms of the level of disappointment he suffered. That was after he was overtaken in gripping drama by Bryson DeChambeau. A combination of his own errors late on and the American's inspired play on that final hole proved costly. Well, this week McIlroy is back in major championship mode at Royal Troon in Scotland for the Open. It gets underway tomorrow morning. Yesterday, he spoke to Greg Allen, first outlining the only way he sees to turn his disappointment from Pinehurst around.
The learnings will come from Pinehurst if I'm able to get myself back into position and back in contention on Sunday. I think that's when, you know, hopefully the things that I've reflected on will then come to fruition. I'll be able to handle myself and my emotions a little bit better than I did those last few holes at Pinehurst. But, you know, just really trying to put myself into position to have another opportunity.
If you had a friend who had, in a situation where you had witnessed their situation, which was similar to yours at the US Open, yeah, you'd be full of positive things to say to them.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it, like, so what would they be? And have you filled your mind with stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could remind them that Jack Nicklaus finished second 19 times in major championships. You know, I keep saying this, but it's all about putting yourself in there, putting yourself in the arena. The one thing that I've done a really good job of over the past sort of 3 or 4 years in the majors is I've been willing to have my heart be broken, because I've put myself out there and I've let myself be vulnerable and let myself get to that point basically of no return. And I've experienced 3 of those Sundays in the last 2 or 3 years. But that's what you need to do. You need to put yourself out there and be willing to get hurt, because it's that fine margin of walking through that threshold of, if this doesn't happen, it's really going to suck, but if it does happen, it's going to be, you know, awesome. And, you know, I'd love to get that opportunity again this week, and, you know, I know I'll be able to handle it better.
And the experience of adversity in life, there's been aeons of books written about people who've risen from adversity and triumphed.
Yeah.
You read those books and you're a student.
Yeah.
Is that part of this sort of recovery process?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I talked about having great resilience throughout my career, which I have done, and I'm very proud of those moments. But also, you know, it's having these setbacks not just make you resilient, but actually make you stronger and make you better. That's sort of what I've been trying to focus on over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks after Pinehurst.
Strong stuff there from Rory McIlroy, putting himself out there and willing to get his heart broken. Let's hope that serves him well this week. Finally, today is a very significant one for one arm of the Gaelic Games family. The Camogie Association is celebrating its 120th anniversary this year, and today, believe it or not, marks the very first Camogie match ever played. It took place on the 17th of July 1904 between two Dublin clubs, Keatings and Cuchullins, and it took place in Pádraig Tailseann in Navan back then. Well, to mark it today, over 4,000 under-12 Camogie players, they'll play a series of blitzes in Pádraig Tailseann and at the Gaelic grounds in Limerick. That promises to be a very special occasion. We wish them all the best with it.